and welcome to Conversations with the Academy, a podcast from the University of Arkansas School of Law. My name is Dorinda Sharp.
And I'm Colin Hesse. On this episode, Dorinda talks with Connie Lewis Lindsay, an alumna of the Lemke Department of Journalism and the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences, as well as the School of Law. She is also Vice President Legal for FedEx Express. They discuss her career and memories from her days at the U of A.
We hope you enjoy the conversation. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
I was just wondering, is this your first time back in Fayetteville in a while, or do you get back regularly?
No, we get back fairly regularly. I have a son who lives in Fayetteville, and we get back for usually at least one football game a year.
Okay, so you've watched how everything has changed over the last few decades.
Yes. The apartment that I lived in on Garland Street, just a few blocks from the law school, has now been demolished for the big parking lot and little strip center. So that's sort of a sad thing to see.
What other memories do you have from your time here
that are the same
or different now?
I was thinking about how amazing it is during this campaign season to be one of the people who was fortunate enough to have President Bill Clinton as a professor for constitutional law, of all things, which was wonderful. And, of course, Secretary Clinton was here at the same time. Of course, Professor Witte, who's gotten so much notoriety later, as we all remember him, was here then. Robert Loeffler, mm-hmm. who certainly...
Maybe, the building's maybe, named for.
Right. And while he didn't invent torts, he certainly invented the way to explain it to the world. So I was really fortunate to have all those professors. And, of course, they're not here now, so it's changed. The physical law school has changed dramatically. But the rest of the campus, although it's grown, I think it still has the same feel to it. Mm-hmm. It still feels very much like home. I was here for 7 years, so... Yeah. It has changed and it hasn't changed.
Yeah. What are your most treasured memories of your time here?
Oh, my goodness. I'm one of those, I guess, nerds that loved law school. I loved undergraduate as well. Went to law school, decided to go to law school at the very last minute. And, in fact, I guess the first legal argument I ever won was with the LSAT folks who I talked into letting me take the last LSAT of the year, even though registration deadline had passed.
Oh, wow.
So just getting in was great. And I loved it. I just thought it was a wonderful experience, as I did undergraduate. I was fortunate enough to be very active on campus and in my sorority, and it was just, your Joe College or Jane College, I guess, experience. It really was. It was great.
One of the things you do in your life in Memphis, where, you're headquartered, is to sit on the board of the Civil Rights Museum. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
I would love to. One of the things that I always tell young women in the legal profession and young people in the legal profession, men or women, and in any profession, is no matter how much you love your job, you should have a passion outside of your job. And the Civil Rights Museum has become mine. This is at the Lorraine Hotel, and it's what we have incorporated in a bigger museum is the room in which Martin Luther King was staying and stepped out on the balcony. And you've seen the famous picture probably when he was shot and everyone's pointing to where the shot came from. So that's part of the museum. We just did a multi-million dollar renovation. And it's not just a museum. It does chronicle everything from slavery and then particularly through civil rights, not just in Memphis, but the movement everywhere, all through the South. There's even a big map of the U.S. and you can look at places like Las Vegas or San Francisco that you've not heard about, but they did have things that happened during the civil rights era. So that's interesting. But it's not only a museum, but it's a center. And so it is a living, breathing center that people can understand what's happened in the past, but talk about the present and the future. So there are constant programs there. We have the Freedom Awards every year, and we have had Bill Clinton, of course, my ex-professor or my professor when I was in law school. We've had Bill Clinton, Desmond Tutu, Oprah Winfrey. I've presented it over the years to Tom Brokaw. We've had Cecily Tyson. Ava DuVernay was the person I presented to this year. Just some incredibly fabulous people who care about civil rights. So it's a very living, breathing thing. And one of the best things is that our children and our children's children just don't remember, as I do, what happened during that period. I mean, I was a child, but those things have stuck with me quite a bit. And our children think that was 300 years ago, not in the 60s. So it, I got involved in it because I would take my children every time they would have a field trip. My children would say, if we're going to the sewer plant, my mother won't be a chaperone, but if we're going to the Civil Rights Museum, she's glad to go. So that's how I got involved with it and met and really liked the president of it at the time and have stayed involved. And it truly is my passion because it's so important for us to understand the past so that we don't repeat it in the present and in the future.
Absolutely. So how long have you been on the board at this point?
I think I've been on the board about 5 years. I started out with the 20th anniversary of the Freedom Awards working. I was the co-chair of that, and shortly after that, I went on the board. And I'm on a lot of boards, most of which have to do with my profession. But nothing is as satisfying and as real as the Civil Rights Museum. So anyone that's listening to this that's never been, please come to Memphis. It is the jewel of Memphis, not Graceland, which is interesting, but the Civil Rights Museum.
I've been through it once, and I was struck by the lunch counter.
Yes.
And I was struck by the replica of the Birmingham jail cell.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know, it's funny, the lunch counter has always been something besides the room that he was killed or was in right before he was killed that struck me. But I think it's because I saw that on television growing up. I was talking to a young lawyer from Canada the other day who had been there for the first time, and he was struck by the rendition bronze statues of slaves coming over in the ships and how crowded they were and how abject misery was portrayed, because he said, I've never thought about the trip over. I knew there was slavery, but I never really understood it. So I think something different strikes everybody as most dramatic.
Yeah, I think so too, which I think is one of its gifts to society.
Yes.
We have several undergrads ask regularly what they should be doing in order to prepare to go to law school. And I was wondering what advice you might have as far as what to study or what to do.
You know, and that's a great question, and I get that frequently as well. Because I didn't decide to go to law school until the last minute, I can't take any credit for having planned well. But I will tell you that I thought journalism was a terrific major, both for law school and for life, and particularly probably for me being in a business setting, FedEx, as well as the legal department, because you learn to get to the point and write briefly and tersely, and that is just a fabulous background. I took a lot of business courses, even though I was an arts and sciences major. I took several business courses, and I think those are good background as well. Political science obviously is, and if I had it to do over again, I would like to do that just because it's so interesting. But I really think learning to read and comprehend, learning to concentrate, and I think you can do that in any major if you spend some time with it, and learning to write are the things that are very helpful. I'm a big fan of a liberal arts background. Mm-hmm. I think that stands you in great stead throughout your career, whatever it is.
Great. Do you think there are any classes in particular that prepared you well, or is it just the writing over and over and over?
I also took a great many English classes, and I think those are good as well. So, no, I think, again, arts and sciences, because it's life, and I think that prepares you well. And all the writing courses, both in journalism and English, I think were very good background classes.
So how did the path lead you from law school to FedEx Express?
I was most fortunate my second year in law school to have a firm offer me a job for when I got out the next year. So my third year, I was not scurrying around looking for a job like everyone else was. And just before I graduated, the two partners, the managing partners who had hired me, came with hat in hand and said, our senior partner has told us he thought we would come to our senses and not hire a woman. But since we have not, he has laid down the law and said there will be no women in this law firm.
Oh, no.
So I quickly regrouped, and it turned out to be just the very best thing because we went back to I went back to the West Memphis area, and I'd grown up in the Delta. Went to work for a great firm there and was amazingly the first woman in the firm, the first woman in the county bar, and the first woman that ever tried a lawsuit in the Crittenden County Courthouse.
Wow.
So I should have my pioneer bonnet on as I tell you all this. So then from there, it was pretty easy. I went to work at FedEx, and they wanted to build a department that tried all their cases in-house. So I got to be one of the few architects of that and did that. And it was just the greatest opportunity because I come from a business family. So I'm now melding business with law, which I love.
That's nice. Do you plan to do anything different with your career, or are you just...
I'm pretty happy where I am. Yes, I've had just a great opportunity. I have an office in Orange County with litigators there and some employment lawyers there. And then our bigger office is in Memphis. And we're, doing the litigation in-house. I've got a management staff of 11, most of whom I hired and all of whom I promoted to either managing director or VP. Five of whom out of the 11 are women, so that's been a great opportunity. And 45% of the lawyers that we have, the individual lawyers, are women. So pretty happy with what I'm doing.
Yeah. Sounds like you've built a great place to be.
It is a great place. And I report to the CEO, so he is my boss, but also my business partner along with the other senior officers. So again, it's just the best melding of law and business.
Both Bill Clinton and, at the time, Hillary Rodham.
Right.
I was just wondering if you might tell us some stories about those days.
Sure. I had Professor Clinton, President Clinton, now, first, and I had him for admiralty, which was not the greatest subject sitting up in the Ozark Mountains. None of us were that thrilled, but he made it so good because he's such a fabulous teacher. Then I had constitutional law, which was absolutely amazing and riveting and a great experience. I was married, my first marriage, in law school, and my husband was also in law school. He and his friend were taking a seminar the same time I was taking constitutional law, and they had asked Professor Clinton if they could do their paper together. And he said, yeah, it just has to be twice as good if you're going to get a good grade. So the end of the semester came, and they realized it wasn't that good. They didn't have that much to say. So we decided to invite him to our apartment, invite the class to our apartment. We decorated a Christmas tree. Making those little gingerbread men out of salt and flour because we didn't have any money. And we had tea and cookies. And I just remember Bill Clinton saying, this is the greatest. This is just the best class we've ever had. I just love this. And they both got an A and they deserved about a C. So that was one thing. She actually substituted for him a lot in admiralty. And that's when I had her because he was running for office. And I know everybody in Arkansas has a story like this, but it is really illustrative of his amazing recall of names and people. He asked me about my mother's radio station, KZOT, in Marianna, Arkansas, this little rinky-dink station in the Delta. So he went down and spent 45 minutes there cutting some ads. And 7 years later, my mother was at a speech that he was giving in another town. And after it was over, she walked up to him and said, he's now governor, said, Governor, you don't remember me, but I'm. And he finished her sentence and said, you're Dixie Lewis and you're Connie's mother. And I'm so glad to see you. I saw her not too long ago. And then he said, And how is KZOT the finest radio station in the Delta? So just an amazing recall of names, exactly who she was, things that mattered to her that made her feel really good. And then Hillary Clinton, we only had two female professors at the time. She was one of them. They weren't terribly older than we were, I think about 8 years, maybe older. So they were both great, great fun to be around, and she was a good role model for the female students at the time.
That's great. She started the legal clinic.
She did. She did. And I did not do that. I'm sorry, you know, now that I didn't. He was our law review sponsor, so I spent a lot of time with him in law review doing that. But they were both just very smart, obviously, very dynamic. They loved what they were doing at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, you would think that teaching would be a lifelong career, as seriously as they both took it. But at the same time, were a lot of fun.
What were they like as teachers? I know every professor has their own personality, mm-hmm. as to whether or not they. We talked in an earlier segment about Professor Witte, mm-hmm. and Professor Bailey, and you know, some are really gruff and mm-hmm. intimidating, and some are nurturing. Mm-hmm. What were both of them?
President Clinton was very affable. He loved teaching. He loved talking about constitutional law, so that was great fun because that's such an interesting thing anyway, and he had a passion for it and really was very intellectual about it and very sure that we saw both sides of every issue. She was a little more serious, but an excellent teacher.
Mm-hmm. Were either of them prone to, I guess all law professors call on folks, you're not going to speak on your own.
Yeah, they both did, but neither were intimidating. They just weren't that type. In President Clinton's class, you know, you were fine with talking because it was very much a discussion, and it mm-hmm. was not so much, you know, show what you've learned from reading the text. And again, I had her mostly for the admiralty classes that she was teaching while he was running for office for attorney general at the time. And, you know, she taught very competently and well. She called on people, but also was not at all intimidating.
Not a gotcha kind
no,
of
no. And I think they
teacher.
Were almost too young at the time to do that with us.
Yeah. That makes sense. Well, thank you for sharing your memory.
Thank you.
Music for Conversations with the Academy was written and performed by Josh Woodward. For more information and additional podcasts, go to KUAF.com or law.uark.edu. You can also listen to episodes or subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, on Stitcher, or with your favorite podcast app. Follow the University of Arkansas School of Law on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for UARK Law. That's UARKLAW. Thank you for listening.